Before we begin, let's have a word with the King. Our loving Father, eternal King, gracious God, we open again the gospel that the Spirit wrote, praying that the same Spirit may sharpen our minds, strengthen our memories, and help us to bring into our lives those facts concerning the life of our Savior that thou didst deem necessary to record. Bless our meditation this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's purposes know no haste and no delay. Like the stars in their appointed courses, his plans move steadily, unshakably to their consummation. In the fullness of time, Paul tells us, God sent forth his Son. He waited. Many things converge to that point of waiting. There are similar parallels to the second coming of Christ. Many things converge to that point of time. Heavenly plans, satanic plans, earthly plans, all move, and in the divine prescience, our Father is aware of those movements. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came. There are hundreds of predictions in the Old Testament concerning the coming of Christ the first time. Hundreds. The first coming of Christ, somebody has said, is the best attested fact in history. Prophetic details, precise in their implications, were fulfilled. And Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in the little town of Bethlehem. The prophets had said that would be so, but his home was in Nazareth in Galilee. But the emperor, Augustus, needed more revenue. So he wanted a registration and a head tax. And so every family in the Roman Empire had to move to the city or the town of its birth. And Joseph and Mary, great with child, walked out of the hills of Nazareth, across the hog's back that goes up the center of Judea, over Jerusalem, 4 miles into the little town of Bethlehem. Many observed the events that were taking place. We see them in the gospel story brought to our attention one by one through various circumstances. The Pharisees and the rabbis and the scribes, those who were the learned men of Judea, were well aware of the prophets of the Old Testament. When Herod inquired of them where he should be born, they said in Bethlehem. Turn to Micah immediately. They could pinpoint the time he was born. So when Herod made his decree to massacre the babes, he knew the year, and so he went plus or minus one each side, 2 years old and under, and he would get them both ways. The place, the time, the tribe. Must be of the tribe of Judah. There were prophecies almost 3,000 years old. Almost. That informed us of that fact. The census was being taken. The tribesmen of Judea were being isolated and identified. That the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. That he would come as a descendant of David. And before that of Abraham. And the genealogies in the records of the scribes copied in the Gospel of Matthew record those facts precisely and accurately. There's no dubiety. The right line, the right time, the right tribe, the right city. They knew. And then God piled evidence upon evidence. When Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the local motel, but they found a stable close by, and there it was that Mary gave birth to Jesus. All heaven rejoiced. And there was dispatched from the celestial heights a select band of angels to serenade the newborn king. Their choir robes were glorious light. No one had ever heard singing like the song of the angels. But the only people who listened were shepherds. Why didn't somebody keep a tape recording of it? Would you like to hear the angels sing? Who heard them? They were just outside Bethlehem. No record in the books kept by the Jewish chroniclers. But there was a celestial band of glorious angels serenading the heavenly king. Proclaiming on earth peace and goodwill to among men, nobody recorded it in Palestine. But way outside Palestine in the east, what is the east? Iraq? India? Iran? Who knows how far east is east? Somewhere in the east, some men saw that star. They saw it hundreds of miles away. Who knows? But the people in Palestine weren't looking. They were stuck to their TVs. They couldn't see outside. And the glory faded, but it was marked way by the men of the east. We have seen his star. His star? Whose star? Well, in their records was the prediction of a man from the east, whose name was Balaam. He had been bribed 1400 years before by the king of Moab to go and curse Israel. And he had gone. He had gone. And when he was there, he promised wisely. He was a mixed up fellow, like we all are. He says, I'll say only what God's Spirit tells me to say. And among the things he said was that the Star of Judah would arise to mark the birthday of the king. Now they gave him more and more money, and he got all mixed up and twisted up and went away from God. But in his homeland, that prediction of the star was remembered. These wise men were interested in astronomy, the movement of heavenly bodies, and one evening they saw in the west a heavenly body that they had never seen before. They were curious. Their curiosity gave way to interest. Their interest led to research. That prediction in the writings of the East that had been lying there dormant for 1400 years spoke to their hearts. Now that's incredible to me. I love to think about things like this. Reading in an old scroll in a distant land, a word that had been spoken by a renegade prophet 14 centuries before. A word picked up by the Holy Spirit and made suddenly luminous and powerful in the human mind. Let's go look for it. Let's go see what it means. Where is it? Well, it's in the west. Let's go west, young man. Let's go. We don't know what it is. Can you imagine what their friend said? Actions sometimes speak louder than words as they tap their foreheads. Kooks born every day. Let them go. They'll come back when they're hungry. And they began to walk. And that walk took months. And when they came to Bethlehem, we'll review the path in a moment, they found a young child. Now the babe was wrapped in a manger, in swaddling clothes. But when the wise men found him, they found the young child. Two words in Greek. He's no longer a babe, he's a young child. Months had passed in the long walk of those wise men. See, it would have been very difficult to take a babe and go chasing down past Suez into Egypt with a band of Herod's hitmen at your tail. And so in the purposes of God, the babe becomes a young child. How old? But I think at least a year. If you've got any more light, let's share it. There are certain chronological facts that you've got to stay within for the death of Herod. But he was a young child. And they came and found him with nothing to distinguish him. His parents were poor. They weren't in some swanky inn. They were among the homeless in some cattle shed. And as those wise men looked at him, they believed. That's incredible. Where was the evidence? This is what I want you to think about tonight. Where's the evidence? Not great propositional statements nailed down in neon type with 25 footnotes validating it. It was the glimmer of a star that they had seen in the east. And it was the light shining out of the eyes of a young child. And the wise men saw and followed and believed and accepted. 5 miles away, 4 miles away in Jerusalem, all the Jewish scholars had the scrolls with all the evidence in front of them. They could have listed dozens of items. Evidence enough. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. The angels were shining in the field, bathing Bethlehem and the southern part of Jerusalem in the glory of heaven. 4 or 5 shepherds believed. The rest of them didn't. Where was the innkeeper at that time? What was he doing? Didn't he see it? Where were the owners of the sheep? Whose shepherds believed? Think they kept their mouths shut? Oh, no. Why didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe? That's the question I want to leave with you today, too. Why don't they believe? What makes some people believe and some people not believe? When Jesus was 40 days old, Joseph and Mary took him up to the temple. He needed to be registered because he was the firstborn. And according to God's law, the firstborn must be registered in the temple. And an offering offered. You could offer a bull, or you could offer a ram, or you could offer a lamb, or if you didn't have the money, you'd go in the hedgerows and capture 2 turtle doves. And Joseph did. He didn't have any money to buy anything else. He'd have been in some lodging if he could. But he found 2 turtle doves, and they took the 2 turtle doves and the 40-day-year-old babe and went up to Jerusalem. And the priest was there welcoming them. That was his task. He accepted the offerings. He offered the offerings. He took up the babe in his arms and he presented it to Jehovah, and he invoked the blessings of Jehovah and handed it back, the babe back to his parents. He'd done his job. I don't know what the fee was. Some small fee. Services rendered. Made a little note for it for income tax purposes. Or whatever they had in those days. And the job was done. He didn't recognize. Shepherds looked into the eyes of the babe and believed. Wise men looked into the face of the young child and believed. The priest held him to his heart and was unmoved. And as the parents go out, they met an old man. Simeon. Do you know anything about Simeon? I don't. He was there. He loved the temple. He loved the scriptures. He loved the Lord. He stayed in the temple. He studied the scriptures. He understood the scriptures. He longed for the Lord to fulfill his promise. And now he sees this babe of a poor couple. And evidence clicks in his mind. The time is right. The tribe is right. Everything is right. And within his heart, the Spirit awakens a response. This is he. And straightway coming out, he takes the babe and glorifies God. Now, Lord, let me go to sleep. My eyes have seen the fulfillment of thy promise. Hardly had he finished speaking, returned the babe to his mother, when an old lady who had lived there, old lady, some portico of the temple. Anna sees him, recognizes him, accepts him, commits her life to him. I wonder what the priest saw as he watched these two. Old, a little slow, memory failing, a little bit weepy as you get old. Humor them. I've got other things to do. And Jesus of Nazareth moved out of their lives. Evident? Enough for some, not enough for others. The Holy Spirit gave the evidence. The Holy Spirit awakened in the mind a response to the evidence. See, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convince. Remember that? John 16, 9, 10. Comes into the heart. The mind gives a spark, this is it. This is the truth. This is right. But what we do after that conviction is up to us. And the wonderful part about this is that God has looked over the panorama of all life. He knows all our lives. And he chooses the opportune moment to focus the evidence and bring the witness. To some of us, he comes when we are children, young people, young adults. To some, he waits for a long time. When I was baptized in a bitterly cold mountain stream many years ago, there was an elderly gentleman aged 83 years of age who was baptized with me and my brother Mervyn. He lived up in the mountains, 36 hours from the nearest missionary, and so we were given a visit every 3 or 4 or 5 years. My dad influenced old Brother Matthew to give his heart to the Lord and communicated with the missionaries, next time you come this way, we'd like him to baptize. Be baptized. He was 83. We were late teenagers. Some when they're young, when they're older. He knows. That's why the Bible says today is the accepted day. Now is the time of salvation. When we become aware of it, when it suddenly dawns in our minds, this is the program. This is the Savior that I must follow. This is the way of life that I must internalize and allow the Spirit of God to replicate in me as I look to Jesus. When that awareness comes to us, that's the time. That's the fullness of time. That's the best time. He didn't come yesterday. He didn't come last year. He didn't come 10 years ago. And he didn't come tomorrow or 10 years from now. He may come again, but every time you delay, it gets harder. You talk to people who have delayed. You talk to people who have played with the Spirit of God, brushed them aside, how difficult it is later on to get your thinking straight, to get your life internalized the right way. And as we look to those people whose lives impinged upon Jesus, imagine them in your mind. As faces looking at a crib, lined with straw, on which a babe is lying. Herod is there, terrified at the thought. Cruel, arrogant, murderous. Here's a babe that must be killed, who's a threat to him. Not some man with an automatic rifle in his hand, but a babe. Can't move out of the cradle. Conviction is stabbing at his heart. This is the real king. I imagine the high priest looking on there too. With a curl of the lip, cynicism in their eyes, because they had built up a picture of what Messiah was to be. And their wishful thinking of the design they had for their own lives made the Messiah in their own image. Because he came in Bethlehem, in a stable, all the evidence that they had in 24 prophetic writers was brushed aside. They met Christ several times thereafter, when he was 12 years of age, when he was 30 years of age, when he was 33 years of age. But then they had steeled their minds, and the evidence past them was out of thought. They would destroy him with it. There were the nameless shepherds and the nameless wise men. There was the named Simeon and the named Anna. There was the nameless innkeeper. And there was the trusting Joseph. And there was the submissive Mary. They were all there around that crib in ancient Nazareth, and above them was the star. And then they were joined by the wise men from the east. And the divine narrative is complete. No one else. No one else. In all the world, no one else. None to chronicle that birth. None to record the birth of that boy in an illuminated sheep. No trumpeters to announce his arrival. When the angel choirs returned to their celestial business, was silent again in the fields of Bethlehem. The evidence was there. The evidence was powerful enough to change some lives. And the same evidence awakened resentment, hatred, indifference, and ignoring. I like a statement made by Matthew in chapter 2. It describes these wise men in verse 12. They departed to their own country another way. Nobody encounters Jesus Christ who goes on the same journey that he went when he came to Christ. There is always another way. There are other thoughts. There are other philosophies. There are other priorities. They saw the young child and his mother. His mother. the maid of Nazareth, young, innocent, humble, unassuming. And they worshipped and went back to their countries another way. Tonight I want you to look at the evidence that the Lord has given you. Every one of us is different. Every one of those faces looking over the crib was different. They came from different backgrounds. They had different outlooks on life. God didn't serenade the wise men with angel choirs, but he did the shepherds. God didn't give Joseph and Mary a long list of a scroll with all the prophetic writings on it, but he did to the people in Jerusalem. He gives evidence adequate to our needs and background. Tonight we sit here totally different from each other, with different needs, and the Holy Spirit comes into our minds with different evidences. Tonight I want you to look into the face of that young child. I want you to see Jesus, the self-emptying, wise Creator, now in a manger, giving himself, having given everything he had. And coming into your life with this impact, suggesting that from now on, you go to your home in the Father's house another way. They return to their country and we look for a country. We look for a city. We look for a home. Builder and maker is God. It may cost going another way. You'll have to decide as the Spirit works on your mind. Which road have you come? What evidence have you accepted? What impacting of the Spirit in your life are you holding back? When the Spirit is a little, quiet, small voice, saying, this is what you ought to do. In your own heart, in your devotional life, in your own family, in relationship to your spouse or your parents, or your children. You've now seen Jesus. It's got to be another way. Your journey has got to be carefully structured to put your feet just where he would have you. Jesus, in our hearts and minds, through the Spirit, is manifest to us. What are we going to do about that? In the quietness of this moment, I want you to decide. I can't tell you. I can only alert you to the ministry of the Spirit. You must do the deciding. You must decide what you are going to do with all the evidences of God's guidance in your life. Are you ready to take those steps? Wherever he leads, go to the country that he has prepared for you, a new country, his way, another way from yours, walking in his footsteps, led by his Spirit. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we have seen Jesus. We have felt the presence of the Spirit. We have sensed the power of the evidence. And I pray that every ear tuned to my voice may hear and heed and say, Lord, take my life. All I have, all I am, all I hope to be. Enfold it all on thy bosom, within thine arms, and guide me along the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.